Excuse me, what is going on here?
But first we're going to make a little detour.
So absurd, so questionable.
Yeah, I guess we're just the weirdos.
Expect the detour.
Energy. Enthusiasm.
Hotness.
Sexiness.
Passion.
Raw. Fear.
Metal.
Strength.
Flaccid. So flaccid.
So cunning and discreet.
Dangly.
Rough. Hewn.
Awkward. All right. You know, it's convenient that we just listed off a whole bunch of words, a whole bunch of adjectives, nouns, preparatory phases, I think. I don't know what that is. Let's do a Mad Lib.
Mad Lib, Mad Lib, Mad Lib.
All right, here we go. Letting technology be creative for us.
Creative juices are flowing.
We are wholeheartedly lacking in a lot of areas, but creativity being one of those. We need a subject. We need a story. What are we doing in this story?
I think we're saving a bunch of old gardeners from a dragon.
Who is?
The General Wee.
General Wee, an Asian general.
Fine. General Wee, the renowned Asian general. Normal Mad Lib fashion. Give me an adjective. Reach down into the depths, into your sack of words.
The old word sack.
Go to reach down, to root around in it.
Creamy.
Creamy.
Evan grabbed that one from the bottom of the sack, I can tell. We hadn't used that one in a while.
He was shoulder deep into that sack. All right, another adjective.
Round.
Round. Top of the sack for that one. Not very deep for that one. All right, another adjective.
Wet.
Wet. How about a noun? Lucifer.
What?
All right, give me a verb.
Sweats.
Give me an adverb.
Pompously.
Oh, good one. Give me one verb.
Attacks.
Oh, perfect for a dragon and some gardeners. All right. Y'all ready for the story?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Hold up. Let me sit by a fire. Get a smoking jacket on. Come sit by my feet, my young lads.
Gather around the hearth.
Let me tuck in with my little blanket and some...
Get you a Sherpa blanket off the back of the couch. Come sit down at Papa's feet. Let me tell you a tale. Once upon a time, General Wee, a creamy warrior... set out on a quest to save a bunch of round gardeners from a wet dragon. Armed with trusty Lucifer, General Lee bravely approaches the dragon lair. As the dragon emerged, General Lee sweats his sword and pompously charges at the beast, ready to attack it. And rescues the gardener from its clutches.
Wow, we actually kind of pulled through on that one.
General Wee, little known is about General Wee.
Yeah.
But his sweaty sword that he pulls out is renowned around the world.
My mental image of this happening is General Wee sweats so much he creates a sword from his sweat.
Yeah, it's just a wet sword.
I mean,
sword.
That's just a picture
and
right
you
there.
You know, no dragon, wet or dry, is a match for a sweaty sword.
No.
Just also the description of General Lee, a creamy warrior. God, you know he was just hot.
Yeah. He was creaming everywhere.
What are the comparisons from General Wee to General Lee of the Confederacy?
I like to imagine both of them would do a sexy calendar photo shoot today. Washboard abs.
Somebody's probably named their car after both of them.
Yeah.
You're going to name your car after General Wee?
Yeah.
What does the General Wee look like?
It's a little smart car.
God, but when you get out of it, you lean up against it, and yeah. you just rub down your wet pecs. You're just calling the name of any wet dragon that's in your vicinity.
The AC is always on 80. Like, you constantly have to be in sweating inside of it.
I like how it says he pompously charges the beast. Like, he had all the confidence.
He knew he was going to win.
General Wee's never been up against something he couldn't defeat.
I imagine pompously makes me think he was like in a 16th century white wig. You know, like an old-timey judge.
Yeah.
Like, maybe had some pantaloons on.
Yeah.
All right, boys, you wanna do another one? Give you another little story for y'all?
Yeah, Zach.
Yeah, Zach.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. We needed to be a unanimous vote. All righty?
Mad Lib.
All right, guys. What? All right, boys, how about this? Evan shows up to an amputee support group. Evan has all of his limbs. Mm. Just being all braggy. Give me an adjective.
Well endowed.
Give me a body part plural.
Buns.
Give me an emotion.
Bashful.
Give me an adjective.
Scary.
Oh. Give me a noun.
Rosa Parks.
Let's see what we get. That fire warm enough for y'all?
I think it is, Dad.
Yeah, I mean, these are stinking a little bit. But. Wait, what?
Oof. All right, we'll just ignore that. All right, let me open this book. Let me blow off the dust off the top of this book. It's an old one. There we go. All right, here we go.
God, right into my face.
All right, here we go. Evan shows up to a well-endowed amputee support group.
Ironic.
Evan has all his buns intact, which makes the other members feel bashful. The group leader's a scary woman. Welcomes Evan and encourages him to share his Rosa Parks.
What are my Rosa Parks?
Is it just the black friends, but she's kind of racist?
I guess.
But she's just like, yeah, these are everybody's Rosa Parks. It's that shade of color. How'd you know they were all well endowed?
They told me.
Okay.
They all tell you.
They like introduce themselves like, hi.
I used to be well endowed.
My name's Jim. I have a below the knee amputation. I also have a hammer.
They pick Evan out as a guy who would like that information.
Yeah.
He seems like he could appreciate it.
Well, I wear, you know, very short shorts there, and then they walk up to me and they say, oh, I couldn't wear those. Stuff just wouldn't
fit. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. It also says the group leader was a scary woman, but then she welcomes you and encourages you. She doesn't sound that scary. Are you just women scare you?
Yeah,
in
I think
general?
She's just a woman.
Yeah, she just kind of scares you in general. It's cool. Did you show her your Rosa Parks?
They refuse to sit down in the seats.
Yeah, they refuse to sit in the back of the room.
Yeah. It's just because they have pride, you know.
Yeah, sure. Very cool, though. Mad Libs, you know?
It's fun.
Maybe a future segment, but welcome to Questionable Detour. I'm glad we could start out this episode with just some classic tales. Something Shakespeare could have written, something Mark Twain could have written, something you read in school, you know?
It's great to go to the bookshelf and just pick out a timeless tale.
About Evan's adventures with some well-endowed amputees.
The Tales of General Wee. I mean, I think everybody's heard that for years and years.
He's a classic. Just creamy.
Just sweaty.
Sweaty and creamy.
Honestly, what we know most about him is his creamy and sweaty nature.
And how he just saves round gardeners. just rotund little guys.
What we don't know is if it stops there.
Yeah.
Does he go to any other professions, or is it just gardeners?
I'm sure he makes out with a couple of them.
Oh.
He's creamy. But you planning on going to any more well-endowed amputee meetings?
We'll see where my Saturdays
lead. Did
you
walk in and say, since they're so well-endowed, you're like, man, you still have two legs, right?
Yeah. Used to be a tripod.
But then diabetes got a hold of you. You lost one of those legs.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's do a hypothetical.
Dave, can I pose a somewhat abstract, purely hypothetical question? I guess I want to apologize for asking a hypothetical question.
Well, that's a hypothetical question.
It's well known to have a full and active life, you need to eat correct, you need to exercise, and you need to get good sleep. Sleep is one third of your life. It is a huge portion of your life. So what is your nightly routine to go to sleep?
To me, obviously, it's very important to have a routine each night so you know your body kind of gets used to, hey, when I'm doing this, it's time to start shutting down, of course. So I like to keep my routine, and I like to keep it simple. I don't want to overcomplicate things. So, you know, I do my hygiene, brush my teeth, comb my hair, shower, get ready for bed, change into my onesie, and then hop into bed, whip out my nightly reading.
What was that? You do what now?
Whip out my nightly reading. Okay. Yeah. Which is the 1974 Farmer's Almanac.
Sure.
Great year, great vintage. And just peruse that for a little bit until my eyes get a little weepy. Well,
it's you emotional thinking about 74.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe all the emotional twists in here.
Just the crops. It was a good crop.
The weather that year.
February 13th. I cannot believe it rained.
God,
the
locust
swarm is coming out a lot in June.
Harvest was rough that year.
So once my eyes get done being weepy and they get tired, I put that down and I grab my globe off my nightstand. And
I didn't realize you're so studious.
You know, I just like to look for stuff on the globe just to see what's out there.
You're like a retarded philosopher.
Just to see if like any new cities have popped up since the last time I looked
now,
at it.
Now, do you write on the globe? Like, you come up with new cities yourself?
I mean, if inspiration hits. Yeah. I consider myself an artist, a global artist, so.
Do you scour the coastline of the globe and just write Evansport wherever you think town should be?
You just name all the towns off of yourself.
Yeah. Every town that I see that doesn't have the word Evan on it, I fit it in there somewhere. Port of Evan.
New Evan.
Yeah, New Evan.
But you dream, you kind of daydream about New Evan. You're like, that Evan's confident. That Evan, it has it all together.
Yeah. And there's some that it really just doesn't make sense to fit it in there, but I still force it in there because that's who I am.
Evan Soda.
You're like, that's that. Miami Evan.
Do you have a Miami different Evan personality for each city?
Is Miami Evan a little like...
Yeah, he's a little dancy.
A little sassy.
Yeah. Yeah, he can get it
the
after.
Really into Gloria Estefan.
Says Mr. Worldwide a lot.
Yeah, this is the creative part of my night. This is the really creative part of my night where my mind gets to wander and kind of kick off my dreams. Once I get through with the globe and I start wishing my wish to Sandman-y, then...
Sandman-y?
Yeah, the guy that brings you your dreams.
Oh, Sandman. You said Sandman-y.
Well, this is his Latino cousin.
Oh.
Sandman-y. I couldn't get Sandman because didn't have the budget this year.
Oh, you have to pay him?
Yeah, so I found one at Home Depot. Sandman-y, he's been really giving me some good dreams. A lot of jalapeno peppers, burritos and stuff in my dreams, which I thought was a little weird.
It makes it sound like he's just, Sandman-y, just kind of feeding him peppers and Doritos.
Yeah.
Like maybe like an old school king, just kind of kind of above his head, and Evan has to go up and get it.
Yeah, they're wild dreams.
Is your dream just being fed junk food by a Latino man?
It's whatever Sandman-y dreams up at the time.
Okay. He's kind of your guide.
Is he mainly food-related dreams?
He's not very creative, so it does boil down a lot to just food. Maybe ride a donkey every now and then.
A burro.
Burro, yes. Yeah. As he says. Burro.
Is it
Spanish
for donkey?
That's Spanish for donkey, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Don't say that we never taught you anything, listeners.
There you go. Does he call you a gringo?
He does. He's very offensive. He...
Very racist.
Yeah. Does not like me.
It's because you've trapped him in your home.
Yeah, it's because he's like, I have a job to do, but the dude's just reading a farmer's almanac from 1974. He just sit there and wait for you.
I have a routine. I have a routine, and Sandman needs to respect that.
Did Sandman-y, did he come across the border illegally?
Listen, I'm not going to get into that.
Did he come across your border illegally?
Oof. All right, P. Diddy.
We're topical.
Listen. the Home Depot parking lot I got San Manny out of was the best in the area.
Okay.
And nothing I have done to San Manny has, I don't want to say, trapped him. I haven't done anything to offend San Manny. Let's just
other than the lasso around the ankles.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just a precautionary measure.
Okay, because my next question was, how did you convince Sand Manny to come back to your house? We're implying that it was a lasso, but I mean, did you use any of your great verbal skills?
How'd you entice him?
Yeah.
Money.
Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty.
Okay. Well, that's good. How much are you paying him?
Not much. Only a couple thousand a day.
Golly.
Just to get by. Yeah, just so he can get by. You know, sure. He lives he's in a lot of gambling debt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I got to offset that. And somehow it keeps racking up more gambling debt.
I bet you get your nightly routine. You get all snuggly in your bed and then you look up and open your mouth like a baby bird and then Sandman's not there because he's at the local casino just wasting it all away on the penny slots.
Putting it all on black. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let's just say hypothetically, you read your Farmer's Almanac, you become a world artist.
Global artist, but
you
sure.
Become a global artist, come up with some new locations, mm-hmm. or you rename already existing locations. What do you do next? What's your next part of your routine?
Well, that's part of the, you know, closing my eyes and letting San Manny take me wherever he needs to.
Just kind of drizzle some nacho cheese on you.
Yeah. Wherever he thinks my dreams need to lead to is where.
But it's kind of hot, so you're just like. Yeah,
I have wet dreams, but. The wet is just nacho cheese.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is terrible to wake up to in the morning as you've rolled around and there's just cheese all in your bed.
It's just as sticky.
Let's say that San Manny gets a little too deep into gambling and his bookies have to dispose of him. Do you think you'd ever go back to the Home Depot and maybe seek out a Dirt Diego?
I think at that point...
Potsoil Pablo?
San Manny is probably the end of my line of dream makers.
Yeah, that's what every person says in their first relationship. They'll never find somebody like them again. They were the one that got away.
There'll never be another San Manny.
There'll never be, and you know, after he's stabbed and thrown into the river, you'll never find somebody like that again.
I rue the day.
Will you maybe, in honor of him, take over for him and go into people's houses and be their San Manny?
Yeah, but I don't feel like I have earned the title of San Manny.
Oh, okay.
Just because, one, my name's not Manny. I'm not Latino.
Well, we can call you Seventh Heaven Evan.
Oof. That is good.
You're rethinking it?
I'm rethinking it.
You're rethinking it, baby?
Now that I have a name.
Maybe you'll feed people food in bed?
Kind of liking it. I have a name that sounds like I'm going to masturbate a bunch of people, but yeah.
If you wanted to kind of continue with a minority trend, you could go to a different race and be 7-Eleven Evan.
I like that too. Ooh, I could go to the Jews. Levin Evan.
Levin Evan. Oh, man. Well, I think you have it cornered. I think if Manny ever, you know, finally meets his end, mm-hmm. you can kind of take over and just kind of carry that job or to the next level.
And it's cool that you have all these names that can fit into the cities that you're changing on the globe. Like you've got geographic names depending on wherever you go.
Yeah, exactly. So no matter where I go, I'm going to feel at home because I created that place.
I bet traveling for you is absolute hell. You get to a new city and you're like, where is the subway? Is it on Evans Street or Evans Main Street?
Yeah, get there and see all the signs.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I see all the signs for, like, New York, and I'm like, where am I? This isn't New Evan.
Well, okay, well, fine. Let's go back to your sleep routine. So he feeds you just kind of Americanized Mexican foods, and then you just go to sleep?
Yeah, I mean, he's the reason he's feeding me those foods is to manifest my dreams.
Ah, okay, you have some weird dreams because of all the trash food you're eating?
Yeah, he sends me off into my diabetic coma, and
very good.
That's a night, you know?
I bet you wake up refreshed.
Yeah.
And covered in cheese.
Definitely not groggy.
You feel like I have a fever.
Yeah. I have a fever, and I feel like I have an anvil in my stomach.
Oh, man. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, Alan. The day is ended. You've 7 worked hard. 7 p.m. 7 p.m.
Ready to go to bed.
You and every 96-year-old is kind of... kind of ready to hit the hay. What's your sleep routine?
So my sleep routine is really based off of making sure that I can't sleepwalk.
Sure. It's a serious issue.
Sleepwalking's a problem. Sleep running, even worse.
What about sleep suplexing?
More fun.
Not for the person that you drag out of bed and then...
It's not.
Reverse slam them on the ground.
Especially when it's a neighbor 3 doors down. That's just called breaking and entering.
Yeah, they're like, they call the police and they're like, did he steal anything? And they're like, no, he just gave me a concussion.
He wore a luchador mask when he did it, you know? Like, but yeah, everything is geared around getting me so deep in sleep that I cannot physically get out of bed.
Absolutely.
So what I like to do is make me a little concoction that can kind of keep me knocked out.
Unconscious.
It's like a bull tranquilizer, a little too much.
Oh, okay.
We need something just below that. So the concoction that I make is a little drink that has just 2 cups of whey protein. 1 dose of ZQL.
Sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Could have just started and stopped with that. But yeah.
But we need me to be so full that I just pass out.
Okay.
A cup of Bisquick.
You're just drinking powder at this point.
And cut it with a Gatorade.
Oh, okay. There's the liquid. I was waiting
there
for
it
that.
Is. Yeah.
But and not then, enough Gatorade, so like it's still powdery. So you're like in bed, like coughing, but it looks like smoke is just coming out of your mouth from the
That's right. That's
Bisquick
right.
And
from the mush.
Yeah, I only fill that cup up about halfway with Gatorade.
It's like wet sand in a bowl.
Top it all off with a piece of shrimp on the edge.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Like a little cocktail.
What does the shrimp do for you?
It adds.
It gives it the fishy flavor that you love.
You know, sometimes when you're having a meal and you just wish you were closer to water, sometimes a shrimp will take you there.
So this puts you to sleep?
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't want to go just for sedation. You wanted to go for fully unconscious?
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm making sure that I am full when I go to bed. Everybody wants to go to sleep after a nice, heavy meal. I've combined a light sedative of ZQL with a heavy meal.
But not a meal a normal person eats.
No.
You've played short bust chemist. And you've just added a whole bunch of stuff to a mixing bowl.
It's kind of like kitchen roulette.
Yeah.
Sort of. You just walk around the kitchen, open up a cabinet. The first thing you see, that's what's going in there.
You're like, I don't care what it is. I just need to be full.
Uh-huh.
And I hate to ask this, but does that affect how it comes out of you?
Yes, it does.
Are you waking up with explosive squirts?
Yeah, but only 2 days later once it's worked its way out of my system.
Yeah, you're full and constipated for 2 days.
It is like I might as well have eaten or just drank cement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have pure concrete in your
clogged.
Stomach.
God, you go to work just pale white. Dark rings under your eyes. Like, how you doing, Alan? You're like,
not great.
Must have eaten something that didn't agree with me.
But I'm confused as to what it was. Like, it couldn't have been the whey protein and Bisquick.
And the one shrimp, which is questionably fresh.
That's true, yeah. Who know? I mean, we do not live near the coast.
Yeah, it's like trying to get the shrimp out but keep the protein and the Bisquick in.
Yeah.
It's just like... God, it's a tornado in your bowels.
If you had an x-ray machine and you x-rayed my body, it would probably look like when they find a shrimp fossil.
Just in like some like old rock.
That's what it would look like if you looked into my intestines.
Completely unchanged. It's been preserved through the years.
This doesn't sound like it's liquid. It sounds like you have painful constipation.
I do.
Just
I do.
Like toes clits to the floor.
Yeah.
Arms on each wall just screaming constipation.
Yeah. I need some room when I finally make it to the bathroom.
You need a toilet in the middle of a basketball court.
You gotta get your beehole dilated to get that out.
Yeah, I
Do you term it like pregnant women, you're like, it's 5 centimeters dilated right now. I'm almost ready.
Hold on, I'm crowning.
Which is actually very convenient for you. So sure, yeah, you go to bed that first night full, a dose of NyQuil. So I assume you sleep okay.
But yeah.
3 days later, when you have that blocked colon finally evacuated, you probably sleep really well that night too because of the fight that you had to put. Like, it was like reeling in a 500-pound marlin.
So the adrenaline that's coursing through your veins.
The adrenaline, it's exciting for you.
Oh, it is. It's like going into battle.
Your arms are raised above your head like you're on a roller coaster.
But they're also grabbing the walls around me, you know, so I have, you know, something to secure myself with. But yeah, the coming down off of that high, if you time it right, you will go to bed and sleep for 12 hours.
They say when you die, you slip off into nothingness, that you get an intense rush of like serotonin and dopamine. I think that's what's happening to you. I think you're getting so near to death that you're getting that rush of hormones, but somehow you make it back.
I like to get right to the brink of death.
Sometimes you actually go and then come back and you resuscitate.
But I think the only thing that brings me back is that half a glass of Gatorade that's in the mixture.
You're just hydrated.
Those electrolytes
just fighting to keep me here.
They're defending the Alamo down there.
Just electrolytes and coonskin hats.
Yeah, shoot black powder rifles. that's great. Have you maybe thought about installing a merry-go-round in your bathroom and having Evan coming over and just using centripetal force to maybe just pull that load right out of you? Evan's there to spin the merry-go-round, by the way. That's why he was involved.
Yeah, I'm glad you involved me in this, not yourself.
Can you explain how the merry-go-round is involved in this?
So it's simple physics.
Simple physics.
Yeah, it's hard for me to picture.
Well, let's just say you have hired a contractor. Contractor that doesn't ask questions.
Sure.
To put a merry-go-round in your bathroom.
Uh-huh.
He's got a lot of questions, because one, why have
but
a merry-go-round?
But he's discreet, though.
He's discreet. Yeah. You have the merry-go-round installed. Evan's there, muscly, just can spin a merry-go-round at 1,000 miles per hour.
The merry-go-round's not motorized. Evan is
you have a motor, and that's Revan Evan over there, you know?
Also, a third question by the contractor is, you have no kids.
Lots of questions about the merry-go-round. So Evan just starts spinning that thing fast as you can. You're facing the middle of the merry-go-round, butthole's facing the outside.
Okay.
Just that force, the centripetal force, mm-hmm. just kind of like an act of God pulls it out of you.
Okay, this is a force of nature.
Yeah.
Is what we're creating force here.
It's a law. Literally a law of physics.
Yeah, I don't see any downsides to that.
Yeah. I would figure out how to duck quick. Because if you get hit in the head with whatever's coming out of him, it's like hitting the head with a cinder block.
Yeah, it's a concussion waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's fossilized.
I'll make sure to wear my hard hat.
It's, you know, the name of the game is just don't wake up. Or actually, don't sleepwalk. Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot where this was actually going to. Yeah, don't sleepwalk.
Don't sleepwalk. That's good.
You're a danger to yourself and others.
I think the last thing we really need to ask is, what do you do when you sleepwalk? Why are you so afraid of sleepwalking that you have to play Breaking Bad chemistry to go to sleep?
When I sleepwalk, I go straight to a gun.
You start rooting, tooting, shooting up and down the street like an old West cowboy.
100%. And the thing is, I go after my biggest fear. And my biggest fear are people that look like the cast of Shrek. So I am running through the neighborhood trying to get rid of large ogre-like people or very short Lord Farquaad-esque people.
So you're just trying to neutralize targets.
Yeah, we've got an enemy, I think, in the neighborhood. And it's people who look like computer-animated fantasy creatures.
You're hallucinating.
And I don't think I'm alone in that. I'm sure there are others that feel the same way. While I think it's a good idea, I think I should be more prepared and not do it in my sleep.
You have the belief whether you're conscious or
not. Yes. Yes. Gotcha. Okay. I just think that I need to have my faculties about me a little bit more.
If you were awake, you'd go about it like a black ops soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
A ghillie suit, mm-hmm. you know, sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a rootin' tootin' cowboy.
Actually, I wouldn't wear the ghillie suit. I would wear the all white suit like I was a hunter in the snow.
But there would be
there's,
no snow.
There's no snow,
though. Oh, okay. You're, just, yeah. you're poor at color contrasting. Okay. Very good. Taking sleep aids, which is not an autoimmune disorder.
Right. No, it's not.
I got sleep aids.
You once. Have sleep aids?
Yeah.
Taking sleep supplements, if you will, it's a very common thing. So you're not that weird.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
The side effects. Little weirder.
You're going to have any side effects with no matter what drug you're taking. That's just part of Big Pharma.
I mean...
And Big Pharma is just some big burly woman with chest hair that makes it for you.
Pharma.
It's Big Pharma. Cankles. Kind of a dark mustache above her lip.
Big Pharma, she works for me.
Sure.
She's worked for the family for years. Yeah, she's, yeah. She practically raised
me. She doesn't
me.
Die. She has been around for generations.
Makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Big... Why is everybody so scared of Big Pharma, you know?
Hey, if she lived with you, you'd be scared of her, too. Okay.
That's why you're trying to go to sleep. Come you're trying on. To get away from
yeah.
her.
Yeah, yeah. And then she does come in there and watch you until you fall asleep.
Okay.
She wants to make sure you go to bed and get your rest.
You sure you didn't grow up at a mental institution?
She sounds like just a big, hard-nosed maid. Like you just... Mm-hmm.
She sounds like an orderly.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's her full name? I assume Big Pharma is a nickname.
Big Pharma is kind of what my family's just called her for years. Her name is Pharmaland Faraway.
They didn't actually tell you her name. They just told you one fact about her, and you just assumed that was her name.
We just knew she wasn't from around here, so that's just kind of what we started calling her.
Pharmaland Faraway, huh?
Pharmaland Faraway.
All right. Very good. We don't know if this is going to be a new segment at all. We don't know what's happening right now. But as adults, you know, we're thinking about being homeowners. We're thinking about being homeowners.
Homeowners?
Homeowners.
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 You know, we're midlife. We can try something new. But for this next little bit, we're going to go take a house tour and maybe see what we might want to purchase.
Today on House Hunters, Zach and Evan are looking for their forever home with a $3 million budget. They are wanting something to fit their crazy cool life and is big enough for their hobbies. Their expectations are high, but it's nothing for hit realtor Alan Foreclosure to tackle.
All right, welcome back to House Hunters. I'm Alan Foreclosure. Today on the episode, we've got two friends, Zach and Evan. Zach and Evan are looking for an 8,000 square foot home for activities and hosting parties. Zach and Evan enjoy eating, hula hooping, and making sand angels.
Well, thank you, Alan Foreskin. me and my friend Evan are looking for an 8,000 square foot house, 3 bedrooms though.
1 bath.
What? What an unusual specification.
All right, well, do you have something for us?
Well, wouldn't you know it, but I definitely have 3 options.
Oh, my God.
A lot of male couples your age that have had the same specific interests in mind. So the first house we've got here, 8,000 square foot house exactly.
Wow.
The living room is 6,000 square foot. So when we say open concept, boy, do we mean it.
It's like an airplane hangar.
You could do maintenance on a John Deere 4430 tractor in here.
Oh, hey, well, I think, Evan, are you ready to go see this house?
Yeah, I'm interested. This guy's good. He's already got one on deck.
Alan Foreskin comes with good reviews.
Yeah, so right here, standing on the front door, we've got a 16x12 garage door.
That's the front door?
This house has no front door. Oh. You enter through the giant garage door.
Absolutely.
Which means you're driving right up into that living room.
the thing is about having this big of a living room, Alan Forskin, is that you can park your vehicle in here and you wouldn't even know it's in here. The size of it is amazing.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
And you could like just keep your car running and kind of let the fumes just collect in the house.
Yeah, I think that's great. Now, Alan, you know, we wanted a one-bathroom house.
One bathroom.
The toilet seems to be sitting right in the middle of the 6,000 square foot living space. Is this the bathroom? Is this a 6,000 square foot bathroom?
Actually, no. This is a focal point of the room.
Ah, okay. Uh-oh.
While this is a working toilet, it acts as more of a water feature.
I see that it does have a bidet in it.
You flush it and that water just shoots up like a fountain.
How fun.
It's great that it's on a pedestal right in the middle.
Yeah.
It looks like we're part of a weird toilet religion.
Mm-hmm. Really yeah. grabs your attention. Really can't take your eyes off of it.
Now, Alan, I'm noticing in the 6,000 square foot room with the toilet sitting in the middle, there are no windows. It is very dark in here.
Absolutely correct. There are only three light fixtures.
Is it that tiny little one up in the corner?
You got it.
It looks like...
That's a spotlight.
Yeah. Oh, it's a spotlight.
That spotlight in the corner, yeah.
Oh, so like it's like a prison spotlight? Like
it yeah. does have a warden feel to it.
Well, that's because that spotlight is sitting on top of one of our other features, the guard tower.
Perfect!
It really gives you that yard time feel.
You know, Alan Forskin, I have lived in multiple houses where I never felt like I was being watched. So it's mm-hmm. great that there's a guard tower right yeah. there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of people struggle when they were a prisoner of war and then they come back and they're no longer a prisoner of war. So we want to kind of keep giving them that feeling.
And as a couple of people who were not prisoners of yeah. war, this house seems perfect.
No, this is amazing. Does the guard come with the house, or do we have to hire that separately?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, the guard does come with the tower.
Wow. What a deal.
What a great deal.
What a steal.
I mean, that's great that you don't see too many houses that come with that.
You don't. Feature. And I'll tell you something else about the guard. And this is, I shouldn't even be telling you this before you settle on the house. The guard can be whatever nationality you want him to be.
Like you change out the guard, or he just adopts an accent?
He will adopt an accent. The guard is actually an out-of-work art student, and he was really into theater as an adult, which is weird most of the time, but because he's got this gig at the house, he's kind of found his calling.
That's great.
Well, that seems like he's flexible in that maybe one day...
He can put his leg behind his head?
That, but also... Like one day, if I wanted to be an oppressed Russian, you know, he could look down upon me with a nyet nyet, you know.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The next day, I want to be a Holocaust victim. He could be a little German up there.
Yeah, just some W's into V's for him.
Certainly could. Certainly could.
He could be whatever we wanted him to be.
That's great. That's what a great amenity for this house.
I think so. I'm glad you guys like it.
What a great amenity for the house to have two men to be able to use another man however they want.
God, the country's come so far.
It's so progressive.
Speaking of which, you guys want to see those bedrooms?
Absolutely. Now there are two more rooms in the house.
There are two more rooms.
Now I'm not.
Well, it should be three, right?
Well, there's three. I think. Wait,
like two bedrooms and a bathroom? Because we haven't gotten the bathroom yet, right?
The bathroom doesn't count as a room.
Okay, okay.
So there are two bedrooms and then a storehouse. That's the third room.
Okay, okay. Good. Because I was worried we're not going to have enough room.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, that's great. Yeah, I would love to see the bedrooms, which, you know, I'm not a mathematician, but if this is an 8,000 square foot house and the living area is 6,000, that means we have about 2,000 square foot to play with.
I tell you what, you smart guy.
I listen, we are able to afford this house purely off of my concussed brain.
Evan, I can see what you're seeing in this guy.
Yeah. What? Hold on.
Just wait till he gets the spotlight on me. All right. Let's check out the... Let's take out the rest of the house.
All right, so we're opening up the door going into bedroom one. What do you guys think about this?
Now, Evan, do you see that the ceiling is not only not vaulted, it's inversely vaulted. It's touching the ground.
A good eye.
But like, only in the middle.
It's only in the middle. Like, you can only really use the outside perimeter of this room as the roof is sunk completely to the floor.
Yeah. Seems like a water collecting basin, almost.
Now that you say that, I'm looking at the Google image of this house. It doesn't have a roof over this, this part of the house. It's just a giant latex area that water is slowly collected.
That's right.
This must be the pool.
Ah, good. I mean, sometimes you just turn water into wine, Evan.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you just keep the water on the roof.
So tell us about this amenity, Alan. Why did we not put a roof on this house, this portion of the house?
So I am glad you noticed, and I'm glad that you've asked. The reason why there is a pool on top of your roof, in place of your roof, actually.
That is now inside the room.
That is now inside the room is because there is no yard in this house. So there is no place to put a
There's
pool.
There's not yards usually in any houses.
There is no yard surrounding this house.
I understand. Okay. Oh.
This house is actually in a commercial business area.
So it has a lot of soothing noises.
Yeah. There's just the sound of industry in the area. Just lulls you right to sleep.
That's good. And it's great that this doesn't have a roof. No noise is blocked out. It comes right in. The sound of jackhammers.
You're hearing everything.
Yeah, that's great.
All those 18-wheelers slamming their doors closed. Yeah.
But it's really cool because also there is a water filtration system, which is just a PVC pipe with a couple of coffee filters. Inside of it.
Oh, and we can drain it?
Yeah, you can just drain it out there in case you get thirsty.
Let me get a cup of this.
Go ahead.
This tastes like West Nile virus.
You got it.
There are tiny little mosquitoes, baby mosquitoes swimming around in my cup.
Another amenity.
Protein, you know?
Where else can you get West Nile virus right at the palm of your hand?
And honestly, West Nile virus is less popular than it was, you know, a few years ago. So we're trying to kind of boost it back up.
Absolutely.
Popularity.
It's going to be great when it finally peaks again.
Yeah.
Look out, Ebola. Here we come.
Well, I noticed the horse trough over there.
There is a horse trough. Mm-hmm. Interesting. This room seems to be water themed.
Yeah. But the weird thing is it's full of gravy.
Gross. Okay.
That is actually something that the last homeowner left there that we did not have time to get out.
You just left it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You thought we would like that?
The last homeowner was a Cracker Barrel cook. And
he was just sneaking out gravy.
Obviously, they specialize in gravy. So he would sneak it out in his pants pockets. And he would just put it in the trough for in case he ever had a guest over. This was the guest bedroom.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah,
so, in, you know, they're eating all that gravy. They need something to wash it down with. They just take a drink out of the water hose coming from the roof. You know, the gravy is just an amenity.
I think we can make that work.
Yeah,
you know.
Keep it. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't, I mean, don't we're obviously keep. We worked so hard for it. Yeah,
sure.
You know. I'm sure he's been captured and put to death for the horrendous crimes that he's committed.
Yeah, Cracker they put Barrel one star on
take,
his apron.
They they ripped the stars off of his apron, kind of like in a military court-martial fashion. Cracker Barrel does not take kindly to theft.
Absolutely, I bet not. But yeah, I think this room is good. What's the second bedroom look like?
So the next bedroom, if we're walking down this hall that takes two steps to get down.
It's right here.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of round the corner, two steps, and you're in the room.
Another, I think I hit my shoulder on it.
Here's another 1,000-square-foot room, I guess.
This is where all the lighting went.
Oh, God. It is bright.
So there was a little bit of a mix-up when the house was actually designed, and all the lighting went into this room.
It looks like the Son of God has come back in the second coming in here.
It is all kind of ceiling fans that are sometimes mounted on the walls. You've got wall sconces like you're in a medieval dungeon.
There's a dangly chandelier on the floor. Mm-hmm. So it's not really dangly. It's just kind of laying there all lit up.
It looks like it's chained to the floor.
Yeah, my eyes hurt. This is painful. Yeah.
And it should be noted that this the sale of the house is not contingent on whether you own sunglasses or not.
Ah, okay.
You will have to provide those yourself.
Okay, so those we will have to provide those for ourselves. Okay.
I did notice, I walked in, and I couldn't tell if I just thought everything in the room was white. or if my eyes had just been blinded. So
yeah, I think your rods and cones that. Have melted within your eyeball.
Yeah, it felt that, like, immediately. Okay. I felt the melting.
And we actually painted the room white just to kind of add to that effect.
Yeah, just to bounce the the yeah. light off the walls.
The mirrors were also an interesting choice in here.
That is true, yeah. There are the whole ceiling is mirrors.
It's basically just... It's so hot in here. It's like it it's like hot. You are harnessing the energy of the sun.
That's pretty much it. We're it's a greenhouse room.
Who is the leathery tin man in the corner over there?
Oh, you mean Keith?
Keith. Oh, nice to meet you, Keith.
Keith doesn't come with the house, but he does work here.
What does he do?
He just kind of tans.
Accumulate skin cancer.
Yeah.
Well, Keith, he looks great. Very saggy. He looks like an old leather bag.
Yeah, Keith spent roughly 12 years as a homeless man on a Florida beach.
And he was like, there wasn't enough sun.
No, there wasn't enough sun there. And he made enough money selling broken glass necklaces to get him to get out of Florida.
Did notice all the broken glass on the floor. Yeah. Do not want to walk in here without shoes on.
I thought it was kind of supposed to mimic sand or something of the like. There's just shards.
It's everywhere. Yeah. Jagged.
Something cool about Keith, and if you guys buy the house, you'll eventually develop this skill by living here, is his feet are so leathery that walking on the glass doesn't even affect him.
Wow. Basically,
you cannot penetrate the soles of his feet.
Well, I tell you what he could penetrate.
Oh.
And that's my heart.
Okay.
Because I already like Keith a lot.
Well, that is great. I'm loving where this is going.
Yeah. That's
Zach, I got to say on this room, when we get the inspection done, we definitely want to get an electrician to check this out. Because I got to see the amperage draw on this thing. This bad boy's got to be pulling an entire breaker
by itself.
There has
been rolling blackouts throughout the city recently. Yeah. And I assume it's because of this. Because
you've been showing the houses.
Yeah. Let me assure you that the house is up to code, and that code is the Bushido code. So if something goes wrong, either Keith or the guard from the guard tower will fall on their sword.
That's good. That's good that they'll take all the blame.
Most certainly. The anything to protect you.
Okay. Yeah, but it also seems like we'll have to clean that up.
Yeah.
So. Could they do it outside, like maybe?
Yeah. That it seems like a mess. Well, I'm going to close this door because
probably for the best.
Yeah, I have no eyebrows.
Last thing you guys want to see, I guess, is probably the kitchen.
The kitchen. Yes,
that's a room.
The normal thing in the house. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see the kitchen.
Well, I thought, isn't there a storage thing too?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. The storeroom.
Yes. Oh, he does.
He wanted to brush past that.
Seems like he made that up.
The storeroom is 100% a thing that is real, and we'll walk down the hall to go to that as well. So yeah, here we are opening up the door into the storeroom, and you'll notice that it is just wall-to-wall barrels.
It looks like an old-timey ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're a little bit of a Prohibition era.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe that we're going for. The door to get in there is actually just a giant picture on the wall. So, it's kind of a secret entrance.
Yeah.
Now, the picture is of you and Keith. Mm-hmm. Hugging it out on
bareback style.
Bareback style. It looks like some very romantic beach.
Yeah.
So this is actually a picture of me and Keith right after one of our biggest fights.
It's very erotic.
Y'all get to fights.
We were a wrestling tag team group.
Ah.
So the fight was us fighting other people.
Oh, okay. I see.
And we just came victorious. So this is just it's just two bros hugging it out as they do.
You're smelling the back of his head, but I guess we'll overlook that. All right, well, okay. What's in the barrels in here in the storage room?
Mardi Gras beads.
Okay. Very useful.
How much square footage did you say this room was again?
Oh, well, gosh. What are we at right now?
We're at
6,000.
We're at 8,000.
Each room is like 1,000.
6,000. Oh, well.
Somehow we have broken the space-time continuum. Adding space into the planet.
Let me tell you about this, because there is actually more space than you thought.
Ah, okay.
Oh, so surprise space. Square footage is measured by area that's heated and cooled within a house.
Okay.
There is not a single vent in the storeroom.
It is stuffy.
It is stuffy in the summer and cold in the winter.
Yeah.
A lot of mold.
A lot of mold.
I noticed that.
But not too much, though.
No. Well, it's a healthy amount.
Sure.
It's a good amount that you want any house to have. A
lot of black mold. It's good that we're inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that there's a diversity in the mold. And I think that's what's important is you don't want just one kind of mold. Then you got a problem. Sure. If you have a bunch of different kinds of mold, then it's like artistic.
Absolutely.
So you can, and we desegregated the mold too.
Well, that's good. I love this room. We'll come up with something for the beads, I assume. But all right, well.
Well, for our yearly St. Patrick's parade, or Mardi Gras parade, that we'll have run through the entire house, that there's enough in the living room space in the river.
Maybe we could do like a Home Alone situation where maybe we have a thief break in. We can just put the beads on the ground. They slip and slide all over the place.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Okay, well, this is a security system at this point, so that's pretty cool.
Or you could have a bunch of people come into your house, like Evan was saying, and do a St. Patrick's Day parade. And you two could act out that scene from The Fugitive where Tommy Lee Jones chases Harrison Ford through the parade.
Oh, that'd be good.
Ah, that's good. Has nothing to, very little to do with the beads, but I'm following along. I like
that. Well, it has all to do with St. Patrick's Day, though.
Okay, okay. Yeah. We'll just pick out the green beads of the purple, green, and yellow beads.
Yeah.
It'll be a whole process. It's fine. Okay.
we'll figure it out.
Let's go ahead and close this homoerotic picture right here that is also a door. Let's go see where the sausage is made, so to speak.
The kitchen is essentially in the main 6,000 square foot living area.
Oh, okay. Well, how did we miss that?
Well, you missed it because it is just a small open flame cook fire with a kettle over it.
There is a bonnet cladded maid sitting in the front.
Yes.
She looks like something from Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Ruth. She has a name tag. Mm-hmm.
Roof.
Oh, Roof.
Roof.
Oh, okay. Is that a misspelling or is that her actual name?
That is her name, and she would like for you to get it right.
Now, does she cook or does she just wander the house like a Victorian ghost?
She does a little bit of both. So she cooks over this very small cook fire using this one cast iron kettle.
I would also like to point out that there is no escape for the smoke, and it's just kind of collecting at the top of the house.
That's right. It's there in case you need it for later.
It's there if I need it for later.
Yeah. Just in case you got into use for some smoke.
Which would be, what? Why would I need smoke?
It's not my job to tell you how to live your life.
It's just there.
It's just in there in case you need it.
Ah, okay.
But Roof comes and she turns down the bed for you every night.
Okay.
Sort of, you know, nice maid service. She's also your alarm in the morning.
Ooh. Can we get an example of it? Can you ask her if she can do the alarm for us?
Roof, can you do the alarm for them?
Why, certainly, master.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, what? Man. What Roof. Is that about?
Roof, remember what we said. We talked about this. You don't have to do that anymore.
Here's your alarm. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh, she's setting us up. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. You've just had a full night of peaceful slumber.
Is my hair all over the place?
Is your hair all over the what?
Like, in my head. Like, do I have bedhead?
You have bedhead. It's kind of cute.
Oh. Okay.
But here's how I would wake you up.
Oh my God, the Germans are coming! Oh my God!
Wow, what a peaceful way to wake
abrupt.
Up. That is great. Just a maid that's a scared of Nazi Germany in 1945.
She knows how to do her job.
That is
how
Roof,
does she know about
you.
The Nazis?
Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she was around back then.
She is very old.
Oh. Does she cook anything besides various stews, or is it all just stews in the kettle?
She is pretty much a stew woman.
Mm. Which every woman wants to be described as.
Every woman wants to be described as a stew woman.
Could I also call her a stewardess?
You could call her a stewardess.
Okay, okay, good.
Yeah, she could be described as a handsome woman with big, strong hands.
Yeah, mitts. I'll call them mitts.
Just old 1930s catcher's mitt hands. Like, she could work steel.
I would describe her as homely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just below par looks. She's crying over in the corner now because we're just in here roasting her.
Yeah.
If you had a crop you needed out of the field, she'd be the one you'd want on your side.
You wouldn't even need a combine. You would just get her out there like Yankee doodling the crop right out of the ground.
Yeah, this would not be her first, not be her first time.
Okay. Well, I'm glad Roof, the stewardess, is around. So, I guess, you know, we've seen the whole house. I would like to point out, you said that this wasn't the main bathroom, but yet it is the only toilet in the house.
Yeah.
So we'll gloss over it.
We'll gloss over it.
I was going to bring it up, but I thought better not.
He lied.
Yeah. So you know.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, it was a lie.
Okay.
It was a design flaw in the house. We wanted a water feature. A bathroom was supposed to have been put in. They got the work orders wrong and instead made the light room.
Ah, okay.
It was supposed to be a one-bedroom house with one bathroom.
Right. Sometimes our biggest mistakes turn out to be our biggest amenity, so I really appreciate that. So the final question is, how much does this house cost?
You're probably looking at a $2.5 million home.
That's easy.
You're a teacher, and I'm a trash man, so
yeah.
We can definitely afford that on our budget.
Great. I teach trash men. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys are just good friends.
And he trashes teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're great friends.
Great. Like, really close friends.
Really close.
I just said good. You said great.
Well, we don't want to underplay how good our friendship is.
Okay. Okay.
You're not going to meet two people who are better friends than we are.
Right now, I'm holding Evan as if he's a damsel in my arms.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I think friendship is really important. And the bond between roommates is just one of the greatest bonds.
I'm glad that we have a realtor that's just going to give us philosophical opinions.
Yeah,
that's me.
Well, obviously we're going to have enough money to buy this house. What's the interest rate at right now?
Well, in this area, it's kind of low at 14.5.
Ah, easy peasy.
Oh, so, I mean, I'm sure that's something that two big money people like yourself would not have a problem
with. We'll put it on the credit card.
Pay it off in a couple hundred years.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I think with all the parties we're going to be able to throw here and all the life that we'll be able to live in here, I think it's going to make it worth it.
Well, I'm glad you guys have found your home. So thankfully, we don't have to look at the other two homes that I promised you.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we're good.
You've really sold you on this.
The other homes were too normal.
We don't have time for that.
Yeah. That's true. Thank you for coming in. And tune in next time for House Hunters with Alan Foreclosure.
Wow. Listen, I'm just glad we could make a house purchase.
And listeners, Saturday workers, this just goes to show, if you put your heart and soul into anything, you can be homos too.
Yeah. Sure. You can be homo owners.
Homo owners, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, as we end this episode, let's give the Saturday workers a one-liner wisdom.
You know, they say that electricity is power. Mm. I say the true power lives in the electric state.
Ah, okay. not electric country?
Electric country. The electra federal government... That's too much power.
Okay. Very good. I don't really know how you use that wisdom, but you know.
However you see fit.
If it's for you, you'll know how to use it.
Yeah. When you're in the moment where it really applies, you'll know.
They say it's bad to soil your pants, but it's even worse to get caught putting soil in your pants.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do see the wisdom in it, I think.
That's true.
Very good, guys. Very wise. But if you have a hypothetical for us, if you need advice from the three wisest people, if you need a subject to get fun facts about, write us in questionabledetourpodcast@gmail.com. All right, guys. Do y'all want to be done?
Hola. ¿Cómo estás, señor Evan?
Hey, Sandmanny. I've already been through the almanac, so... Kind of ready for you.
See, you are right where I need you to be.
Oh. Okay, Sandmanny. Oh.
Here's a little dream of a little burrito with some cheese.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, getting some enchiladas.
Oh, Jesus. That is a good dream.
What do you think about this quesadilla?
There's a lot of nacho cheese coming out of the side of that.
Too much cheese?
Oh! I don't know if I'd say too much. How much is too much?
I call it queso con queso.
I do feel like I'm going to wake up covered in nacho cheese again today, judging by that quesadilla you're showing me right now.
Evan, can you keep the cheese out of the bed? All right, the lights are already too bright in this stupid room. Now you have some Hispanic man in here feeding you items? I cannot sleep.
But this isn't about you. I'm trying to get a dream out of my Sandmanny. This is Sandmanny.
Hola.
You know Sandmanny. I found him at the Home Depot parking lot.
¿Cómo estás?
He gives me a dream. He feeds me burritos and enchiladas. He's
brought a trash bag full of food items in here. He's just putting them in the bed. You're not even eating them.
Well, it gives me a good dream. You know, it sends me to sleep well.
I got this bag full of pork rinds.
Do you not want me to sleep well, Zach? Is that what this is? Sandman is here to do a job, and you're going to stop
pork rinds in the bed. This is very crumbly.
He is the number one dream maker in the Latino community.
This
right
is
now.
A nightmare to me. This is not a dream.
I make El Dreamos come true.
He seems fluent.
He's good.
Expect the detour.